God kept saying, I will be their God and they will be my people. I will be their God and they will be my people. And you know, it starts out in the Garden of Eden, and he's walking in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. And you know, that's what God wants. He wants us in relationship with him. And he paid an extravagant price for us to be in that relationship with him, because in our fallen condition, we can't take our stuff into the Holy of Holies. So we need to learn how to soar on the wings of the Holy Spirit up into that throne room where our Father is, where Jesus, our high priest, is, and he's ministering for the heirs of salvation there. And he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Anyway, this first scripture reads, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God and they shall be my people. He wants us to dwell with him in his tent, in his tabernacle. Sorry, I'm not used to, Sorry, I'm not used to this clicker. This first slide, the second slide, I put God likens himself to an eagle, Exodus 19:4 and Deuteronomy 32:11. And we're going to go over this in a minute, those two scriptures. The apostle John, his symbol is the eagle. In Revelations 4, it talks about a door being opened into the heaven, the heaven of heavens. And he hears a voice like a trumpet says, come up higher, come up higher, come up and take a look at this. And so John finds himself in this vision of the throne room, and he describes it there, and he sees a beast, and the beast has four faces, or there's four beasts, with one with the face of a lion, which people believe represented Matthew, one with the face of an ox, which they believe represented Mark, and did I get that right? Did I say the first one was a lion? Matthew was a lion? Yeah, Matthew a lion, Mark an ox, Luke a man at the face of a man, and then John likened himself to an eagle in flight. And they all cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then the 24 elders that were up there threw their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And so this was a scene that that our eagle, the apostle John, who represents himself as a flying eagle, wanted to reveal to everybody God's glory. You know, he wanted to. He went about declaring it. If you know our God, you'll fall on your face and worship him. And then the next little thing, the prophets likewise describe kings and kingdoms by their ensigns. And Cyrus, we just studied Cyrus in the Old Testament. He was the king of Persia, and he was a Gentile, but God used him. And his ensign was an eagle. And he told in Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah, about Cyrus, this king, and it was 200 years before Cyrus was ever born, that he is going to rule over my people, and I will teach him how to do it. I will do all this for him, and Cyrus will send my people that are in captivity back to Jerusalem to build the temple, to build the walls, to put up the gates. And so he tells us, our God tells us what's going to happen before it happens. And so he appointed Cyrus, our eagle king of Persia, to, can you imagine reading about yourself in the Bible? Cyrus did. He's going, oh, this God is something else. And yeah. And so, and then the Romans, too, they used the emblem of the eagle on their flag. They had a silver and gold flag with a golden eagle on it. And they went about conquering all the known kingdom at that time. And so the Romans used an eagle as their emblem. And then God likens us to an eagle in Isaiah 40, 31. And I'm going to cover that more. Aquila in the New Testament, Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila is the Greek name for an eagle. And Paul hangs out with Aquila and Priscilla. If you heard about eagles, you know eagles never hang out with chickens. They don't hang out with crows. They don't hang out with peacocks. They hang out with eagles. And so Paul, who writes most of the New Testament, he's hanging out with Aquila, this tent maker, because Paul was a tent maker too. So he looks him up and he goes and lives with Aquila and Priscilla. And they're tent makers together. So these eagles are hanging out together. And I just put this on here because I did this also at the Auberge on the 4th of July. The Auberge is where my dad is. He's in an Alzheimer's unit. I go in there and do a Bible study once a week there. And eagles adorn our U.S. stamps, our coins, our dollar bill. It has become the symbol of the U.S. Marines and the U.S. Coast Guard. And it is also in the center of our emblem of the USA. And so I hope we're an eagle nation. I hope that we're one nation under God, indivisible. And anyway, we can pray for our nation. I'd appreciate it if afterwards we all get together and pray for whatever God puts on your heart to pray for our nation. But anyway, this was my outline for today, but it took an hour and a half at the Auberge. And we had just studied Nehemiah, and Nehemiah, when they were attaching the gates to all the parts of the wall that they had built, somebody would read them the word for 3 hours. And then after the 3 hours of hearing the word, they would worship for 3 hours. And going, wow, we are kind of wimpy. But, yeah, so I'm not going to do that to you. I had enough. I could have, but I won't. So, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19, 14. And this, the Hebrew people had just been rescued from being in slavery for 400 years. And God had taken them and bore them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. And they're here at Mount Sinai. And God is going to come down and speak to them. And so God tells Moses, this is what I want you to tell him. Before I give them the Ten Commandments, I want you to remind them that how I bore them on eagle's wings and brought them to myself. And so then he gave them the Ten Commandments, but he wanted to remember. He wanted the people to remember, this is what I did for you. You saw all those miracles back in Egypt. You know, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Let's see here. I'm so surprised when it works. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Do you know how many times the Lord says this too in the Old Testament? I don't know. I tried to count them, but I couldn't. They were, you know, it depends how you put the word in the search thing of your Bible app. And one was over 300 times, you know, and God spoke these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then he gave him the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Is God on a big ego trip or something? No. He knows that other gods are just made up in your mind. You create your own gods. And he doesn't want you to create your own gods. He knows how they were. They did things that God didn't even think of, he said. You know, it's pretty crazy for you to sacrifice your baby on a brazen altar that has been heated up and put your baby on there for some god that you've made up in your mind. God says, no, don't do what they did. You know, I love you. I brought you to myself. I want you to know me. No other gods. That's it. And it says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for the Lord your God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now the Gentiles in that area, in the land that God had given them to go into and possess, they would get a sturdy piece of wood and have someone carve it into an idol. Then they would cover it with gold, and they'd make silver chains to put around it to decorate it with, and then they'd have to carry it wherever they went. Really, you have to carry your God? You have to nail him so he stands up, so he doesn't tip over. And it's like, no, don't make yourself idols. He wants to be your God and be your people. He wants you to be his people. He said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Ooh, we better turn off the TV and the computer. And, you know, why is this a big one? It's because, you know, if Kenny had a picture of some other babe in his wallet, how do you think I would feel about that? He'd be in big trouble. And you know, that's the same with our God. Our God doesn't want you to take his holy name and curse it, you know. He doesn't want that. I studied this a guy named Ron Mills. He was a Foursquare pastor up in Oregon. And he wrote a book called The Tender Commandments. I love that book. But they're tender because it's our tender God saying, come, let me be your God. Let you be my people. I'll be your God. And anyway, Jack Hayford and him were really good friends. Jack Hayford took his family on a vacation, and they stopped at a gas station to get gas, and that's back when they had attendants come out and fill your tank. And the attendant was a crusty old guy, and every other word was GD this and GD that and GD. And Jack Hayford's just like, you know, Anyway, the gas station attendant noticed that he had a bad tire, and he says, you know, you got to get that fixed or your family will be in danger. And after this, GD this, GD that, GD this, you know, Jack Hayford finally says, you know what, you've done me such a favor, possibly even saved my family's life from an accident. And I don't want you to be in danger. Because, you know, using his name in vain. And the guy was like, you know, he was raised doing that. He didn't think about it, you know. But the guy was going, oh, did I offend you? You know, he's really like, I never meant to offend you. And then he explained to him, you know, God doesn't want you to take his name in vain and curse him. And I don't want my car cursed. I don't want my tires cursed. I don't want the air in the tire cursed, you know, because this guy was, you know, cursing everything. And so the Lord does not want his name taken in vain or diminished at all. You know, if you have if you, like the prophets in the Old Testament, get a glimpse, a little glimmer of our God and his majesty, you know what they did? They fell on their faces. And they started repenting immediately with just a glimmer of seeing our God, you know. And so you will correct your mouth. You will do whatever it takes to worship this God once you've had a little glimmer, you know. And my prayer for us is that, you know, us being little grains of sand on the beach, that we can reflect just a little bit of his glimmer back to him. The fourth commandment was, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male servants or your female servants, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I'm going to take a little drink here. Sorry about that. My voice is going somewhere. Now, is it important to take a day of rest?
Yes.
It is, isn't it? This same pastor up in Oregon, his wife insisted that she needed two pair of shoes when she went to buy shoes, because if she, you know, let a pair of shoes rest, then they would last twice as long. And he's going, oh, whatever. And I'm going, yes, let's buy two pair of shoes. And then his church was right next to a bowling alley, and he befriended all the guys over at the bowling alley. And the guys at the bowling alley said, yeah, we pull our pins off of the alley and give them a rest for a month. And he said, you're pulling my leg. You don't, bowling pins don't need a rest. And they go, no, really, they lose their liveliness. They can't bounce around as much unless we rest them. And so Jack, you know, and then there's land. The land needs rest. If you keep planting and planting and planting, which the Israelites did, and God says, I'm going to give my land rest. You're going to be taken captive so that this land can rest. And so, you know, we need rest. We need to take the Sabbath day holy. And we need to join together and worship God together and come into his throne room together. You know, iron sharpens iron. Where else are you going to hear about God except when we join together? So I'm not going to go over the last six commandments because we would be here 3 hours. But the next slide, let's see. Oh, are you doing that for me, Dan?
Yeah.
Thank you. And this is when another eagle scripture, when the Most High divided to the nations, their inheritance for the, and I wanted to put this, even though it's 8a, it's the beginning and then it skips a little bit. The Most High God, in everything to do in God's economy, is the Most High. If you go up, you go up to Jerusalem. Everything's above, everything is up, everything is the Most High in God's dominion and his economy. So that's why I put that in there, because eagles, the king of the air, they fly higher than any other bird. They know how to soar. And the scripture, when the Most High divided the nations to the nations, their inheritance, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste-howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreading abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. There's your song, worship team. That's where that comes from. Deuteronomy 32:13. And so God has the best for you. You know, I will be their God and they will be my people. And that's what he wants. Next slide. So eagles mate for life. This might be another reason why God chose to liken himself to eagles. Eagles are a good example of a perfect marriage. They mate for life, even unto death. This on this side, again, eagles mate for life, a fact not common in the animal kingdom. No matter what happens short of death, the marriage will last, but not only last, the bird puts maximum effort into making it work. On the other side, eagles carry out elaborate courtship, one that does not cease at mating, but will continue on throughout the life of the eagle. Eagles. The male eagle never takes his mate for granted, but continues to court her for the rest of his life, till death do we part. And I had a picture, I couldn't get it in there, but it was of an eagle. And there's 60 different species of eagles, and this one eagle brings his mate like a bouquet. And, you know, if you're sentimental, you want to say, oh, that's affection. But, you know, others could say, well, maybe she needed more fluff for a nest or something, you know. I choose to say that's affection, you know. Can you play that clip, Dan? It's just a little clip of showing them playing. They do this for life. It's so amazing. They play. They have a good time together. Do you remember the story of Abraham when he, for some reason, both Abraham and his son Isaac, they were told not to go to Egypt. So what do? They move as close to Egypt as you can get. And then they end up going into Egypt, and Abraham, both Abraham and Isaac, his son, did the same thing. Tell them that you're my sister, because if they find out you're my wife, they'll kill me because you're so beautiful. And so she goes along with it. But, you know, God has this whole history set up, you know, that the seed of the Messiah is going to come through a specific person. And he's not going to let anybody mess that up. And so he tells the king in a dream, you touch that woman and you're dead. She is another man's wife. And he's going, oh. I think it was either Isaac or Abraham, I can't remember, but one of them was sporting with his wife. That's what how the King James puts it, playing. You know, and the king is looking out his window one day and sees Abraham or Isaac, I'll have to look that up, which one was sporting with their wives, you know, and it's going, that can't be, that's his wife, the way he's sporting with her. And and so that's what eagles do. They play, you know. And so the king was really upset. Why didn't you just tell me she was your wife? So Abraham gets sent away. Isaac, his son, when he does it years later, he gets sent away, and they are enriched by the Pharaoh because the Pharaoh, God tells him, don't touch that woman. That's another man's wife. And sporting, I brought those stories up because eagles sport, they play. You know, you should do marriage counseling with eagles. Such a good example. Next slide. I'll try it. Oh, there we go. So again, eagles mate for life. In seeking a mate, Ephesians 5 instructs wives and husbands how to love. First thing, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And in Titus, when it instructs wives to love their husband, they use the Greek word for love is phileo, meaning responsive love. The wife is supposed to be responsive and love her husband with a responsive attitude. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In Ephesians 5:25, they use the Greek word for love is agape, which is aggressive, unselfish. It's not aggressive like, you know, deck the woman. No, it's like aggressively, you know, this is my family. Eagles patrol the air for 3 miles around their nest. Nothing's getting in, nothing's getting out without that eagle seeing it. And so eagles are a good example of a marriage, of a family relationship. You know, eagles protect their territory. And they've got really good vision up there. They've got a film that covers their eyes so that they can look into the sun. And they can see two things at the same time. They're really quite amazingly engineered. And this is a picture of God. You know, that's why he likens himself. He's got great vision up there. And he can see the enemy afar off and know if, you know, something is amiss. And he also can hunt and provide for his family because of that great vision. And their nests are always placed up high, always high. So in God's plan, he set up for one man and one woman raising up godly children to know him. In Genesis 18:19, for I know him, he's talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So our God is a covenant-keeping God. If he speaks a word, you can take it to the bank. He is faithful, he is true, and he's trustworthy. And so is this relationship with a male and a female eagle and the eaglets. A baby eagle is born with all the potential to make it king of the sky, to soar and glide through life with power, strength, and majesty. There is just one problem. The eagle doesn't know it. The baby eagle must be taught to be an eagle. It must be taught who they are or what they possess. And, you know, this is a picture of little born-again Christians. You know, we're all, like, zealous because the Lord has, you know, redeemed us. He has called us by name, you know, but we look like these little chicks. Now what? So we need to be taught, you know, we need to be taught that when Jesus went back to the throne room of heaven, he says, I'm going to leave you another comforter. And this comforter, it's better for me to go away and leave the comforter than for me to stay here. You're going, wow, that's a pretty nice comforter. And so that comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, will bring you into all truth. And so that comforter is a picture of the mother eagle, the father eagle, doing everything it takes to teach those eagles that they can fly, that they can hunt, that they can do all these things on their own. The same with this book. You know, it took 66 books to describe our God. He's majestic. He wants you back with him, and he paid an extravagant price. And when you're born again, that's just the beginning. It's like now you got to be sanctified. Now you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you got to learn to fly. You got to fly. When Jesus died on that cross, it said the curtain, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And it was about 4 inches thick. You can't go tear something like that. God tore it. And the way into the Holy of Holies was opened up to us. You guys don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You don't need someone else to tell you what this says. You know, the way into the Holy of Holies is open. So redemption is just the first part. But sanctification is learning how to fly on the wings of the Holy Spirit into that holy place, into the holy throne room of God. And this is the scripture for us about eagles. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is our scripture. We've been redeemed, and now we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have access into God's Holy of Holies through the finished work of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That word wait, I don't know if I highlighted it. Wait. I didn't highlight it, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word wait in the Hebrew is kava. I don't know if I said that right. Probably the definition was originally twist, stretch, then of tension, of enduring, waiting. In the Arabic, it's to be strong, to have strength, or like a strand of rope that, you know, when there's three cords twisted together, you know, it could be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It could be the God, our God, the husband and the wife. But it makes a really strong rope that cannot be broken. And Kenny, you chose this scripture for our wedding, huh? That a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. It says in some cases the bald eagle, pair will not mate during the first year at all, and have been known to spend as much longer in one location before taking this step. Whether this is to assess each other or to assess their nesting area being unclear, this patience is again rather exceptional in the animal kingdom. But once everything is at last decided, the act of consummation can finally take place. But they wait. They wait. And they build their nest. It reminded me of Jewish customs, where the young man would build onto his father's house, and he would go and choose him a wife, and she would be like his wife, but they would not consummate the marriage until a certain amount of time had passed, and the young man had built a place for his wife and the to-be children. And so they wait for that. And patience, a quality that does not surrender to the circumstances or pressures of life. It is a spiritual force closely aligned with hope and faith. In fact, faith, hope, patience, and love are usually found together. Eagles are remarkably patient birds. They have been observed roosting for hours above a rabbit hole, snake hole, or where a fish had disappeared. They will wait and wait and wait, sometimes for hours. Usually they are rewarded. The eagle strikes with devastating speed and power, yet this bird, with its mastery of flight, its deadly beak and razor-sharp talons and keen eyesight and legendary boldness, has need for this quality of patience. And we do too. It's so wonderful to observe eagles in the wild. I used to take my kids rafting down the Snake River outside of Jackson Hole. And one time we were with a bunch of friends that I worked with, and an eagle came right down by our raft, just inches away, and grabbed a fish out of the water and then flew up to its nest. And I'm just going, wow. That is such a gift from God when you are in the wild and he lets you see, you know, something like a majestic eagle and flying. And eagles, another characteristic about them, oh, whoa, I'm taking too much time. Another characteristic about eagles is, you know, in the morning, a lot of birds are flapping around. But not the eagle. He waits until the earth heats up, and then he just has to bounce, and he's aloft. He waits for the thermals from the heat warming up a bit, and he just bounces up. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be so in tune with him that, and he tells us the one thing we are to do is to ask for the Holy Spirit. In I think it's Matthew, is it 27? It's in Luke. And he says, you know, this is it, you being a good father know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So I just want to remind you, ask all the time, Father, I need your Holy Spirit right now. The next slide. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Luke 11. And so I had a whole bunch more scriptures, but can you just bring up the slide? There's all these scriptures in Psalms about wings. And God says, I will shelter you. I'll just read them real quick. And keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings will I take refuge till the storms of destruction pass. And, you know, that's another thing about eagles. They can ride above the storms of life. And that's another thing God wants us to learn how to do. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when all these things come at us, we can just bounce and rise up on the thermals above the storm clouds. And then let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So I'm not going to go on, but I could. We don't need to show that last slide. But God is a covenant-keeping God, and you can trust him. He wants to be your God and for us to be his people. So learn of him. You got 66 books to read. So, Father, we are so thankful for your word, which tells us of your nature and character. We can trust you, Lord. Your word tells us of how splendid, how wonderful, how majestic, and that we can rise above into your throne room and be in your presence, Lord. So, Father, we are so thankful for you and for your Jesus, you for your finished work on the cross. We can't wait to be with you face to face in your kingdom, but we can be there now. We can learn to fly on the wings of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, each one of us, so that we can walk in truth and know your truth, and ride above the storms of this fallen world. In Jesus' name, amen.